Record button on.
Okay, there you
Yeah,
go. It's recording.
you got an admin on, isn't it? Yeah, okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's it. So with more with promissory notes and bills of exchange in a court, you've got to stay on point with it. That's what you're standing by. You're not worried about the acts they use. You're not worried about it being common law or unconstitutional. You're going to lose if you use, if you create a controversy. That's what it is. Controversy meaning you're introducing non-factual information into, and you'll end up arguing and defending. You're not defending. You're the claimant.
Yeah.
They're the defense, right? You have to go in with the claimant mind because who they summon in there, it's not you. It's a trust account name. And you physically turning up is a limited special appearance because you are an administrator, one of the administrators of that trust account name. When I say trust account name, you use the name they use to summon. So all in caps. So it'd be, Joe Bloggs, all capitals. You know, that's how you say it. So the court record knows exactly and hears exactly what it is you're saying, and nothing can be misconstrued. Yeah.
Yeah,
And
well,
Michael, yes. I just wanted to ask, for my benefit, would you say special appearance or special attendance? Because I've never been able to disappear. you can't disappear in a court. You can't. When you go into their court system, who are they? Who are they? What are they? What are they in there? Living or dead?
Well, they're dead.
So you can't be a beneficiary in there representing somebody, can you?
Well, you could, but you'd be above the court.
No, you're only above the court if you're in equity. It's got nothing to do with you being a living man or not.
Okay.
Equity is the supreme jurisdiction in anywhere on the planet because it brings you to the raw status of God's word in God's realm. The church, you're in the church.
Oh,
Anything below that's a man-made court room. It's not a court, it's a court room. So if you walk into a court, I'll give you an example. If you invited me over to your house for a party and I turned up half drunk and I was belligerent at your party, embarrassing you and all your guests and stuff, what would be the first reaction you do?
you'd have a word with you and go, "Hey, Michael, chill."
You'd tell me to go away, wouldn't you?
Not at
You wouldn't
first, I'd
really.
say, "Michael, hey, chill." But yeah,
Yeah.
eventually,
Yeah.
if it kept going,
Yeah.
yeah, you'd
But
go,
if I
"Michael."
kept behaving, right? So that's the same thing in a court because it's not a court. It's a quorum non judis. It's a star chamber. It's piracy. It's a piracy tribunal, basically, right? So
Yeah.
if you go in and you start adding more stuff to the argument, then you're creating controversy, which means because they're not there, they don't want to listen to that stuff. They just want the matter they called you in there is one side is claiming you didn't pay something. And remember, you're walking into a bank, a very corrupt bank. It's a banking system of trust law. So you've got to think like a banker in a trust, in a boardroom, discussing a loss on the account they're trying to get you pinned to pay.
Yeah.
So you've got to make sure, and the only friend in that courtroom, right? It's a room. It's a room where commerce is conducted, where banking is conducted, right? Because the judge is a banker. He's a banker.
Yeah.
Right? The
That's
prosecutor side are the clerk opening up a bank account so that you make a deposit.
Right.
That's how you got to think when you walk in. They can't pin anything on you if that court record hears you speak with common sense, with facts. And sometimes your facts don't need to be proven. In a lot of cases, you never need to provide proof because it's them, their presumptions, that brought you there in the first place. They need you to verify their made-up bullshit is facts.
Yep.
Without you, they got nothing. You understand?
Yep.
That's why you've got to be very careful what it is you say and how you behave in their courtroom. It's theatrics, but at the same time, you can't act belligerent. The moment you become belligerent, they ignore everything you say, and that gives them the right to do that. Under their law, you are a crewman who didn't do as he's told. So they're going to send you on the bloody plank, the walking plank. They're going to force you with swords, try and stick you until you jump off.
Yeah. So just to roll back, as you were speaking before, I took some notes. So just to sort of spark the memory, you sort of covered that a little bit there, but you said the remedy in that matter has been done, and that the subject matter is the promissory note as addressing the reason why you're in that court that day, and.
Well, because they didn't accept it. They refused to accept the promissory note. And you've done due diligence as an administrator of that trust. You have done due diligence and performed perfectly to endorse the settlement and discharge of that statement. The problem is they didn't. They didn't fulfill their fiduciary duty to settle and discharge the account. We know it's fraud. We know they're dipping three times everywhere. But if you say that in court, right there and then, you've lost, because you have to provide the evidence they did that, and no one has it. So you stick with everything that they say, and you just cancel out everything out of their mouth. Objection. You cancel out. Objection is used to stop the court proceeding. The magistrate and the judge must come to you after the other side's had their fill. They come to you and say, okay, what are you objecting about what he just said? Because they can't move forward until you object. Right? So make sure when you question, you don't answer, you don't make statements, you're not writing a book in there, you're questioning what he just said. And you do it with another question they can't answer.
Yep.
And that one of them could be, he might make a presumption, a statement that, well, Your Honor, we don't accept that method of payment. We only accept da-da-da-da-da, whatever the conversation goes, right? You object. Objection. And you wait your turn because you're courteous, you're at peace. You got no fear. You have no worry in the world, right? You're going to use your brain first before you open your mouth. And you're going to, two ears, one mouth means you listen twice the time. Your time is listening to what they're saying, because that information is what the issue is stated there and then and nothing else. And that's what you've got to kill. You've got to correct it. It's like when he makes a statement, he's making a deposit into the fact bank. When you go objection and you ask him a question back, can you verify that with documentation and proof that you're exempt or immune from accepting any kind or different types of bills of exchange or even a promissory note? Where are you exempt? You got evidence of that.
Yeah. Is it?
Right? You don't have to rattle off, say, oh, you know, Your Honor, all these acts, da da da, they all quote, you know, the bills of exchange. That's not the information there and then you need to produce. You just got to question what they have. You're putting it back on them to prove. They never can.
Yeah,
to have fun.
because that, well, that's what I've said in the in you know in the email documents with the with Gaydon's was that, you know, I recognize that you're bringing a claim, but you cannot provide any evidence to back that claim up. You know, like you sent me this thing on email, and it's a to me it looks like a photo of something, and it's a facsimile and arguably a forgery. And if you reckon you just scanned that, I want to see the wedding signature copy. That's what I want to see. That's
Exactly.
the arrangement. That's what I'm looking for.
That's it. But you're not making a statement. You just made a statement. If I was a judge sitting there, all I'm hearing is that you're defending yourself. You can't defend. I
Okay.
would reword what you just said and just make it short and sweet. Produce immediately the wet ink signed copy of the bill of exchange that was returned to you, and you admit that you confirm and verified already that's in your possession. That's it.
Yep.
You're asking for it. You're
And if they
questioning.
produce it,
You can't.
if they produce it in court and say, yeah, well, here you go, because
Beautiful.
yeah.
But you have to understand what the bill of exchange is. If they produce the wet ink signature copy, what does that tell you?
Of the original contract.
If they produce the wet ink signed wet ink signed statement that you wrote on everything, if they produce that, the actual wet ink copy, what does that say? What do you say straight after they do that?
Been discharged.
Yes, Your Honor, the facts sit, the facts stand. They have it in their possession. They acknowledge they received it, and they acknowledge, verify, they acknowledge they cancelled it
Yeah.
because from non-acceptance. You see, there's nothing more to argue.
Yeah. Yep.
Don't rattle on. Don't make big blah. Stick to the, and this works for everything, even criminal charges, even fines in court. It doesn't matter what it is you're in court for. It's narrowing down to find the facts. And if you have to, you introduce the beginning because, you know, there's always an establishment evidence factor in everything. And that comes from probable cause. What's your probable cause from summoning the trust account here today? Because you didn't accept a promissory note. What's the probable cause? What was the reason for summoning? Because they really don't have an answer. And that's what you want in the court record. You want the record hearing them going, because they lose. Because what is it saying to the judge? Do you think the judge is going to say, you're guilty, you have to pay it after witnessing the stupidity from the other side? He ain't
Yeah.
going to be party to that. He's going
Yeah.
to save his own bloody job, mate. He knows. He knows you know. And that's the thing. He knows you know. And if you stay in equity, it's got nothing to do with the act. It's got nothing to do with that. If they
Yeah.
bring up, oh, well, under such and such act, da da da, what you do is objection. You wait for your turn. The judge says, what are you objecting about the act? Well, I object about the act because that's for employees and artificial entities, isn't it? You'd know about that, Your Honor.
Yeah. And because this is a trust matter, it's inequity.
Everything has to be argued in equity. You can't compete or fight against acts and things. That's man-made legislation, and it was made by a corrupt cartel pretending to be the government. But you can't go in court and say they're a fraud, they're corrupt as, because if you use equity against what they're doing, they lose every time. Because what you're doing is when they present a make a presumption, they're making a presumption. There's always a magic question you can go back to them asking, can you provide the evidence of that, please? Can you provide the proof?
Yeah.
The facts in the matter, because We don't argue about presumptions in this court, do we, Your Honour?
So that's holding it in equity at that point by doing that.
Yes, because if the moment you lower your dignity, lower your status from being from superior jurisdiction in that court, and you lower yourself by being belligerent or argumentative in that, right? Then you're worse off than they are. They won. You've handed it to them.
Yeah.
Because it's like I come to your house and I'm belligerent. You're going to tell me to remove myself, otherwise you're going to hammer me. That's exactly what they do to everybody else who's in there arguing.
Yep.
They don't want to hear their authority being questioned or their jurisdiction, because they always got a stupid answer for it. And you can't win in that way, because you're in a boardroom conducting contract law or commerce. It's piracy on the land. That's what they're doing. We all know how corrupt they are in it. There's no point bringing that up in court to justify you shouldn't be here and all that, because he's just going to turn and say, well, if it wasn't you, why are you here? They always got a smart ass answer.
Yeah. So when the proceeding starts and, all rise, judge comes in, blah, 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 all seated, what am I expecting? Old mate.
Well, if you were there earlier, you would have heard the court clerk go knocking three times saying, court's open for business. That's the first sign you're in a freaking business court, mate. It's not a real court.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a court of conduct, right? We're open for court now, open for business, right? It's telling you.
Yeah.
This has got nothing to do with constitution. It's got nothing to do with common law, nothing. You're in a contract court law, your court. It's a courtroom. They even use the word room in their own language because they know it's only a fucking room. No different than your toilet in your house. It's a bloody room.
Yep.
It's not a court. They pretend, but it's not a court.
Yeah.
So when they do call the name, I'm here on that matter as one of the administrators of the, and then you spell out the capital name. You say the capital name and say in capitals, trust account name, case number da 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 da. So you're putting it on the record, so everyone knows that your verbal is being heard for that matter, right?
Yeah.
And then you can make a very clear statement. And I'm here purely on limited special appearance. Special means equity.
Yes.
Yeah. So limited special appearance, because you're there as one of the administrators who's already provided remedy in this matter. And that's all you have to do, is then you sit down. That's all you'd have to say to start with. Don't waffle, trying to get it all out in one shot.
Yep.
Play into their stage. Let them get a word out, because little is more. If you get one sentence in, you're already halfway there, because he can't cut you off and stop you from saying the rest. Do you understand?
Right. After I've objected.
You can introduce the rest in parts
yep.
throughout the hearing, but not in one big whack, like they're going to sit there and listen to you talk for freaking 5 minutes. It ain't going to happen that way.
Yep.
Right? You've got to be smarter than them. You've got to understand who you are. And he'll then carry on with his thing, and he'll go, Mr. and Mr. this and this and whatever the place is. And then they'll come back to you and say, okay, so Mr. So-and-so, what do you think? So then you correct him. I just want to make the matter here. I just want to be clear here. And I'm only purely here again. I remind the court that I'm here by limited and special appearance as one of the administrators that has fulfilled their obligation. Fiduciary duty in settling and discharging this matter. It's this side that hasn't. And then you sit down again.
Yep.
Little steps. You layer, because half hour, if that, into it, you hit them with the big one, because you've already set them up all the way up, and then you hit them with the big one. I don't know what that big one is, but you've got to have a game plan when you're going in there, because you need them to admit to your questions. You need them to agree to what you say or by them not answering or rebutting what you say, that's agreeing to what you said, what you asked.
Yeah.
If they can't answer it, then he who asks the most questions wins. It's like a deposit withdrawal, deposit withdrawal. Whoever's made the most deposits wins.
Yeah.
They walk out.
Yeah? Right. Okay. Right. Cool.
You can put an abatement notice in. You use the abatement notice, and that can be a foundation for when you go in. Because the first paragraph.
Sorry, that document that I was showing you before, that was actually the incorrect document. What that was a part of an abatement. That wasn't going to be an abatement notice that goes in. But then I was going to go in as an observer in the matter.
Well, if you're talking about a mortgage payment, this is not something you just ignore and go in as the I'm only here as an interested with an interest in this situation. I'm going to sit over there and I'm going to observe the how the trust is being the performance of the trustees, how they're going to perform their fiduciary duty in this matter. They're after the money. They're going to claim in the record that they never received the money and they didn't, and you're not there to correct them.
Yeah,
we're talking about a mortgage. They can foreclose on you, these pricks. They don't play fair. They're very evil, very lying pieces of shit.
Yeah,
right. Yes.
So it can't
different
be
if it was a traffic fine. It's different if it was a traffic fine. Who gives a shit? They're only going to send you a bill, and who gives a fuck? You do a BOE on it.
Yep.
Again.
Yeah.
You just refuse to pay, right? But we're talking about a mortgage. This leads into foreclosures and things. You need to nip it in the butt, and you need to make it very clear. Sorry, Di, I'm in a pause. Thank you. You need bye.
Hello?
It's all right. I'm having
lecture. I'm not interrupting you.
No, okay, good.
Bye, Di.
Yeah. So you've got to I've lost my train of thought. Hang on.
So basically that an abatement is not really the best of choices at this point in terms of mortgage foreclosure. You need to go in and speak for the trust.
The abatement establishes that you're not the name.
Yes.
So what it means is the name they summon there, the name on the mortgage documents that they're claiming is yours and hasn't been paid. That's what the abatement notice does. It sort of clarifies a little thing, and you can introduce it into the court. Oh, Your Honour, I did submit an abatement notice. Have you had a chance to read it yet? And if he says, no, I haven't, I said, maybe you should before we proceed forward, please.
Yeah.
And maybe the other side should explain themselves too when they've read it.
Yeah. See, what I've called in that document, you saw a previous version that still needs to be expanded on, but what I've called myself in the document is the beneficial title rights holder and the authorized representative to speak for the trust.
Yeah, sorry, man, I had to close the door. I had to close the door. Good noise going on.
Oh, good. Yep. I've called myself either the equitable title rights holder or the beneficial rights holder or the representative to speak on behalf of the trust. And I bring the power of attorney of grantor.
You're introducing titles. You don't introduce titles. You're nothing but the administrator with an interest in the matter. You arm's length.
An administrator with, all right.
With an your interest in this matter is as one of the administrators.
Oh, well, we're recording this anyway. I can go back. And, yeah, cool. All right. So Yeah. So I'm here as an administrator, as I have a as I have an interest in these matters.
I'm merely here without prejudice under duress as one of the administrators of in this with an interest in this matter. Yes.
Okay.
You've got to be descriptive.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, that's
so
what I'm
they can't make presumptions, all right, or manipulate what you just said, right? You've got to be very clear. You have to make it very clear to them that you're not part of, you're not interested in anything they're doing other than the question is they received a promissory note. And that's what you leave it. This matter is being remedied. I don't understand why this has gone through to court. They're the ones that didn't fulfill their fiduciary duty to settle and discharge the matter after receiving and still having their possession, the promissory note.
Yeah, which makes things a whole lot simpler.
You just tell it as is and you stay on point. It's hard for me to coach you guys exactly what to say because every court is different. That magistrate got his own words, his own dictionary in his head. He's got his own game plan that he's stuck with, which he's fine-tuned for 25, 30 years himself.
Yeah.
He's got a set script that he keeps in his head. So we have to adapt. We've got to be adaptable to everything that comes out in that court. And remember, the magistrate and the judge, it's not your enemy. Well, he's not your enemy in this matter. You need him so you win.
Yeah.
So yeah. Getting him to agree with things, certain things that you say when you're questioning the other side and you get the magistrate in the verbalisation to agree what you're saying, isn't that right, Your Honour? The Australian Bill of Exchange and Promissory Note being a Royal Assented Act is still law in this country.
Yep.
And he'll say, well, yes, yes, yes. So therefore, the other side there are not immune or exempt from acknowledging bills of exchange. Isn't that right, Your Honour?
Yeah.
And you go, yes, all right, there too. Great. So if they've received a promissory note from the administrator who endorsed their statement that they sent, they created and sent to the address of the trust account name, wouldn't it be their fiduciary duty to settle and discharge the account? Yes, you're right. Good. So therefore, they failed in their fiduciary duty. So that could be the only logical answer for that one, couldn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
You see how I set them up? You see how you set and see? You're doing forensic questioning. You're setting them up so when you get to the big one, there's nothing more to talk about. You've just proved everything they did is fraudulent, but you didn't have to say, they're fraud, they fraud me, they did this, they did that. But you've, by their own admission or non-admission, they're done.
Yeah.
And you just have to ask them if they are immune from Australian law.
Well, they're not. That's the thing, because the whole currency system in this country is bills of exchange promise. There is no other currency. That could be another question. What other currency is there that the administrator could use to balance an account that's actually a positive amount and not a negative amount? Please explain. I just pointed out another issue with it, you see?
Yeah.
So that, if it's a positive amount, isn't that an overpayment? What is the administrator required to endorse if it's a positive amount? It should be a negative, correct? Because if there's a deposit being made, it would then be zero. But if it's a positive being stated or a billed and the administrator comes along who endorses that and pays again, that's double whammy, isn't it? It doesn't it doesn't zero the account. It's supposed to zero the account. That by paying on a positive means it's now twice as much. Please explain. Please explain how that works.
Yeah.
Sounds like fraud to me. See, I can, then you can introduce, it sounds like fraud to me because I made a clear statement which should be questioned.
Yeah. 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 But see the, yeah. See, I've, my mind's been spending a little bit of time on that audio recording, which basically states, you know, I was deceived. There is no mortgage. We are dealing with brokerage fees, and I was deceived. You know.
But if you argue that, where's your evidence?
Well, that's where they're making a claim and they're not bringing any evidence, right?
They don't need to. They don't need to. They have all the words, the dictionary. They got the court in their pocket. They got everything, mate. You can't talk that way.
Yeah.
Right. You've got to correct what they say. You've got on the record. You must make it very clear verbally that that's not factual. Show me the fact of what you just said. Yeah. The claim you just made that we all heard in this courtroom. Provide the facts. The actual facts, not hearsay, not photocopies, not nothing. Show me the facts that you're exempt and immune from the bills of exchange in this country when it's the only currency we have.
Yeah.
Show me the facts. See?
Yeah, absolutely. Because I sent with one of the documents along the way in the process. I think they went with the original promissory note, and that is the Freedom of Information responses from the Attorney General and the Secretary of the Treasury, and they were only days old at that time when that promissory note process happened. So that was
all. If they say something that would relate to that document, then instead of talking about it and introducing it as evidence for yourself, because remember, you're not defending.
Yeah.
You're not defending. If they bring up an issue that's relate that you could use that document to substantiate the contradiction of what they just said, then what you do is objection, and you wait your turn and say, well, they already been supplied a Freedom of Information reply from the Commonwealth Governor General based on the fact that what he just said is now null and void.
Right. So if I'm...
But
if
now
I'm,
they have to produce it.
Yeah.
They have to produce that document.
Yeah.
If they don't produce it, what's your next question?
Well, a document that I have sent them.
So if they don't have that, because it's a good chance that they won't introduce that, because they now kills everything.
Right.
What they do, you have to bring it up and say, well, Your Honour, they were sent a copy of that with a rebuttal notice that I sent to them on such and such date, da da da. See, you're introducing factual evidence.
Right.
So if documents you use to set them up.
So in that,
and then you can go and say, would the prosecutor, would the other side like time to reread it, to remind themselves or recall that document they received?
Right? Yeah.
Because they're not going to introduce it. You have to make them introduce it.
Right. So in that room, right, if I have those relevant copies of those responses, Freedom of Information responses, and go, I sent one of these to your principal, the corporation you've been working for, whatever, do I have to provide them a copy there?
No, you don't provide a copy yourself. What are you doing when you do that?
That's when you're defending.
You get them to pull their copy out. You tell on the court record they have a copy.
Right.
Ask them to pull it out and have a look and read it just to reassure themselves they're still on the right track here. You make them pull out because that is the claimant has to prove. You don't prove nothing. You're just pointing out where the evidence is sitting. They got the evidence. It doesn't work in their favor, but they still got it.
Yeah.
They need to now produce it because you just told them they have to pull it out. You've received that document. Yes, I have. Pull it out now and read it. Just so reassure yourself that what you're doing is correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And then when they pull it out, the judge might even say, do you have a copy of that? Yes, I do, Your Honor. May I have a look at it or may I have a read it? Right?
Yeah.
Play into it. Give it or say, Your Honor, there is a copy here. I just happened to bring another copy with me. There, this can be your copy if you don't have it in the file.
Yeah.
Now you've introduced the factual document in the court's file because, you know, they have it. And if they didn't bring it, what's the question you ask? Why didn't you bring factual documents with you?
Yeah. Yeah. Relevant, factual. Well,
they verify that the matter is settled and discharged. It verifies that. It's not, I told you so, or I sent it to you. You should have brought it. You don't do that. You make them produce your documentation. It's their evidence.
Yes.
And it goes against them. The claimant has to prove. So you get them to pull the evidence out that you set them up with all the way through.
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. It makes sense. I mean, I was sort of approaching it from in that they're making the claim. Well, now provide the evidence that the mortgage exists. Like, prove it.
Well, it's not even an issue of that because what we're talking about here is they're making a claim it hasn't been paid and because you used a promissory note, they're not accepting it. Well, that's the issue. Otherwise, it wouldn't have gone to court.
No, it was already.
That's what you're paying.
No, it was already in. No. It was already in court before that settlement.
Okay.
Took place.
Yeah, but at the end of the day, you provided remedy. Remedy's already been made.
I did.
There is nothing more to be heard. And they'll say, "Well, how was that done?" I said, "A promissory note for the full amount was issued to them. They didn't accept it."
Yep.
And as you know, Your Honour, under the Bills of Exchange Act, section da-da-da,
yep.
They cancelled it. They didn't accept it. So as you know, Your Honour, and I know, it's settled and discharged by default.
Yep.
So there is no matter to be heard here today.
Yep.
And that's the issue. Because what do they have to do to keep it going in their favour?
They need consent from me and they need me to take.
It's not about a consent. What do they need to produce if they disagree with you?
Evidence.
Yes. Facts.
Yep.
It's always facts.
Yep.
Where's the facts?
Yeah.
Well, look at the facts we got already before you walk in. They got a promissory note. They got a notice of tendered settlement. Settle and discharge. They didn't fulfill their fiduciary duty. Their claim is they don't accept that method of payment. What other method of payment is there other than bills of exchange and promissory notes? Because it's deemed currency. It's the only operating currency in this country. So if you can't use it, why are they so special to knock it back?
Yeah. Well, see, I used promissory notes on a weekly basis or in 2-week lots for 5, 6, 7 weeks and then brought the value up to brought it up by $5. And this was part of the conditional acceptance that I had with Gaydens because they were just, man. They don't give a rat's ass about anyone. They just flog you.
You, but you, The system is designed, the system, every aspect of our life is designed to force us to pay something when they demand it.
Yeah.
That's the system.
Yeah. Now, so, what I did is I used the $50 tendered notes, promissory notes, the coloured plastic one in our wallet. I used those for a number of weeks. Then I brought the value up and used those for a number of weeks. Then I brought the value up and I used those for a number of weeks. So we've already got, there was already precedence that they're willing to accept promissory notes. It's just that when I gave them a promissory note, legitimate, that they go, oh no, we don't like that.
Yeah, but you know that. You understand it, right? You understand it. They may not, to be truthful, they may never have heard of Bills Exchange until you brought it up in the court.
Right.
Or when you issued them the promissory. These lawyers are as dumb as. They don't even know their own bloody law.
Yeah.
But it's not your job to educate them. You're just pointing out, and you use it because I know the judge knows. The judge knows exactly what you've done.
Right.
He's just seeing and testing to see if you know what you've done. Because if you don't know what you've done, in his mind, he's going to say, ah, I've got another patsy. Another dip in the trust. Because I've got an idiot here. Right? So you can't waffle on about certain things. You've got to be on the straight and narrow, short and sweet, and you shut up, you throw a question out, have them demonstrate or verify or produce the facts, whatever the case is, and you get the judge on your side. You'd agree with me that the bills of exchange of promissory notes is the only form of currency in this country, wouldn't you, Your Honour? Because what are you doing to the judge? You're putting him in a spot because he can't turn around and say, no.
No, yeah, he's got no.
He can't disagree with you. Otherwise, he knows he's committed massive fraud. And if you take it to the Supreme Court or High Court, he is done.
Yeah.
You can sue him. You can sue him. He's no longer got liability insurance cover because he lied. Even if he's a bar member and on the oath, it doesn't matter about all that shit. He lied.
Yeah.
He oppressed the facts. He acted oppressively with a self-interest, with a self-gain, with a self-interest to buy deception. He perverted justice. There's a number of things that he's just done by just not agreeing to the fact that, yeah, promissory notes and bills of exchange is the only currency. Whether it be a check, a credit card, it's irrelevant.
Yep.
It's the same transaction. There's a deposit and there's a withdrawal of the accounts. And that's where the banking is. It's got nothing to do with the gimmicks like credit cards and things like that. It's got nothing to do with those sort of things.
Yep. That's a tool. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. It's just a tool to make the transaction. No different. Pulling a note out of your pocket and saying, here, here's $50. It's the same thing. It's an IOU. Everything's an IOU.
One of the other things you mentioned earlier was, so you admit on the record that there was no full disclosure. But that's related.
If their mortgage agreement or contract or documents, right, is questioned in any way, shape, or form, right, you've got to ask the question that would actually then corner them with that fact. Right, so if they bring up an issue, say, for example, but you signed a contract. That's interesting. Did anyone else sign that from your organisation? Because the law of contracts must have two wedding signatures.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what you're doing is you're just questioning, friendly question. You're not being demeaning or smart aleck or anything like that. You're just asking a simple question because you don't know. You're not a learned legal mind. You're not So you have to have the facts to make a informed decision.
Yeah.
So sooner or later, you'll get to the point where you can just go, there you have it, Your Honor. By that statement on the record, they just acknowledged that there was no full disclosure. You just wait for the answer that gives you that, puts you in that position. Yeah. Then bang, there's no point asking more questions, thinking, oh, I've got to lead them further. I need more info. I need to screw them more before I come in. No, no, no. You just kill it. You kill it quickly. You don't want to be in agony for hours. You just want to be in there for 5 minutes and be out. And you want the judge to call it in your favor because they had nothing. And you called it out. Just by simple question, they couldn't produce anything. And then you just say, well, I motion the court to dismiss because clearly they haven't accepted the remedy that was provided when as the administrator of that trust, using a bill of exchange, which gave cause to settle and discharge the matter. They're the ones that didn't fulfill their fiduciary duty as the trustees of that bill. No one wants to be trustee, remember? They're going to say things like, we're not the trustee, da, 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 because they know they have to pay or they're going to lose the loan. Straight away, that loan gets written off.
Yeah.
That's what you're after. That is the goal, is to have them verify everything that comes out of their mouth. And how do you do that? You ask a question about what they just said.
Yeah.
And you ask that kind of question. You ask the type of question that they can't produce the evidence because they start to look stupid. It makes them look like they've come there with nothing. And that's what you want. Because when you get to that point and you get to the point where you can just call it as it is and say, well, they've just acknowledged they didn't settle and discharge the matter, Your Honour, using the promissory note that's been issued. We've already established the promissory note was a valid thing. They admitted it themselves. It's still in their possession.
I've got it in writing that I received a promissory note, the correct title and everything. And even on the phone call, she said, do you want us to send it back to you? And I said, well, you're in control of the document at this point and I consider the matter discharged. So you do what you want. All right.
Well, what you could have said was before you send it back, before you return it, you should read section 68 or 93. Yeah, you get them educated, because if you educate them, then the court will never happen. It never goes to court.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right? But you never get on the phone and talk to them either. The worst thing you can do is ring them up and say, oh, I just haven't heard from you for about a month about this, and I sent you the thing and da 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 da. What are they doing? It's not your business to be chasing anything. You're just endorsed it as the agent for the beneficiary. You've just endorsed it. They received it. You've got confirmation they received it. But that's it. I wipe my hands off. It's finished. I don't want to know about it. No, nothing.
Yeah. Yep.
The moment you ring them up and go, oh, I just want to follow up on that, you know, that bill or that fine I sent you back or something. You've just joined it back. You'll get another letter now after they already convinced that we're not going to get a cent out of this guy. We might as well just withdraw the bloody fine. Then you ring him up and go, oh, hang on, this guy doesn't know what he's freaking doing. This guy, let's send him a reminder again with a threatening letter. Oh, we'll cancel your license. You read it.
Yeah.
You don't talk to these people.
Yeah. See, what they did is they turned it into a complaint. Like I said, oh, we've raised a complaint. This is your complaint ID for the complaint that you created. And so I immediately wrote another document making it very clear that I made no complaint about this. And considering that the only interaction that the bank and the trust has had in recent times was the tendering of a promissory note and a notice of tendered settlement. And I because no instructions went with the promissory note, right? What I did is I created a document whereby I made it clear that I didn't raise the complaint and the bank was bringing controversy to something that should have already been settled and cleared, and that if they've got any trouble with the processing necessary, and made it clear that Shane Elliott was being appointed as a temporary fiduciary, although he does have the right to delegate that responsibility to the appropriate personnel in his corporation, and that was to be securitized and in remedy to settle the matter with account number blah 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 blah, and they sent back a full. It's gone.
That was in the name of the beneficiary and the title holder and all that. Is that how you signed off on it?
Yes.
The equitable beneficiary.
Yes. Yeah.
A living can't tell the dead what to do.
Right. Let me.
They're not going to listen to any of that because you've introduced yourself by your documentation, right? Or an agent or a principal representative, right? You're best to stick with the trust being exactly what it is, the name trust account. It's an account trust name. That's it. That's all it is, that name they're using. It's an account trust name. How it came about, how it was created, we don't give a shit. They sent it to your address because on their records it shows that's where that fiction entity lives. Or you could say that's the office of the endorser for that trust account name. It's another way of looking at it from their perspective. You understand?
Yeah.
So you've got to. Yeah.
Okay. So notice a failure to honor a bill of exchange, right? Autographed by Thumbprint, right? So that's the living man. Underneath that, the principal equitable beneficial title holder of the named estate trust, not the trustee for the trust account, UCC 1-3, blah, blah, blah.
Using a bill of exchange, right? It's using a bill of exchange because, or a bill of exchange or promissory note, because it is the only currency the living the living can use that currency. The dead can only use that currency. Well, you know, technically, whether it's gold, silver backed, or whether it's fiat money, it doesn't matter. Whether you're living or you're dead, you still can use that currency. It's not an issue. It's the name. It's about the name, right? So the notice of tendered settlement, you sign that as the straw.
Correct.
Because it's the straw. Because that's the straw who notifies them that they didn't appear to collect. They failed in their fiduciary duty to collect the money. Now, their argument could be, yes, but I'm in WA living in Perth. I'm not flying all the way to Melbourne to do it. Well, that's their problem. What they should have done was send an agent of theirs that's local to go there. Thanks.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's not impossible to do anything if they're prepared, if they want to honour the thing. It's the same as sending you to your address a statement or bill in someone else's name and they're expecting you to pay it. See, that could be another argument. That's an argument, but that could be a great... If they talked about, well, I'm not going to Melbourne and da-da-da-da, I say, well, how's it any different when you send a bill to the address that your presumption is that the address, the name on that bill is me, when it's not?
Absolutely.
You see what I mean? Apple for apple. There's always a balance. There has to be a balance when you're in the court, mate. Otherwise, if you take away your If you don't reserve your rights, and all they hear about is their bullshit going into the court record as the facts, you're done. You're finished. You have to balance whatever they say. You bring in a balance. Could be either way. You know, the judge is going to hear. He's going to make a determination on whether they said it right or you said it right. And it all comes back down to the evidence presented. They're producing what they think. And you've already produced by rebuttals, by producing a promissory note. You've already produced the facts into the matter that they hold. Just get them to pull it out. Did you receive a promissory note? Yes, we did. Great. What is it about Section 93 you didn't understand?
Yeah.
It's a simple question.
Yep.
You can involve the judge. Yeah, Mr. Magistrate, do you know Bills of Exchange Section 93 or 68, or do you know what it is? Would you like a copy to read it, or would you like them to supply you their copy? Because I supplied them that. They got all my copies. I gave it all. They got it all.
Yep.
You were putting on the record. They are sitting on all the facts, and oddly enough, they're not presenting it.
Yeah.
What's that? What does that mean in law? A crime.
Yes. Well, that's perjury, isn't it?
Without saying it. You don't even have to say anything. You just have to imply it because you've just stated the fact. They have the copy and they acknowledged on the record they received the promissory note. They received the notice of tender settlement. What is it they don't understand about that? What is it you don't understand about bills of exchange of promissory note? You are aware. Do you not believe that that is the currency of this country? It's the only way a debt can be settled and discharged, because how can anyone pay? And then let's look at the statement more clearly. That's a $600 bill or a $1,600 or a $6,000 bill in the positive.
Yeah.
So if the administrator was to pay that out of their own bank account, pay somebody else's bill off, and hand it over to 6,000, wouldn't that mean that you'd be walking away with 12 grand?
Yeah, and net negative one plus negative one equals negative two.
If it's a positive, it must be a minus. If it's a minus, it has to be a positive. That's how you get zero.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Makes perfect sense.
Common sense.
Yeah.
And that's all you're talking. You're not arguing. You're just pointing it out to them and asking a question. Isn't that so? Isn't that reasonable thinking?
Yeah.
Isn't that common sense thinking? If it's a positive on the bill, it's an overpayment, correct? Your Honour, I think that I endorsed something that should have been endorsed, paid, refunded to the administrator's account.
Yeah.
Or refunded back to the trust account, right? Because whose name's on it? The trust.
Yeah,
they put $6,000 there. You endorse it, so that should actually be refunded. It's an overpayment, so that should come back into your bank account. Because why? Because your bank account has the capital name.
Yes,
it's your money.
Well, it's funny. The interesting thing was in that letter, which I'm calling that letter an express waiver. That's what I call that letter. It doesn't say it on the top, but it was an express waiver from the bank, which to me is what is necessary to discharge that arrangement in its completeness. But when they sent that document, they changed the account name. The numbers were correct, but they changed the account name. Instead of it being the full first name, second name, last name, all in capital letters, right, what they did is they went, Mr. lowercase blah 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 blah, still the same account number. And I recognize, sort of went, it's still a mister. It's still
it's got nothing to do. It's not about the mister. The mister is a title on a ship. A mister is the most junior officer on a ship.
Yep.
Right. So, or he's an officer designated as an officer on a ship is a mister. Right?
Yep.
Somebody of status, you call Mr. on a ship, basically. That's the round figure, right? But a name that comes in different variations, capitals, lowercase, da-da-da, it's irrelevant. If they're quoting the surname, it's the trust. That's it. There's nothing more to analyze. There's no forensic freaking testing or improvement. If they quote the surname on the bill or the statement, right? It's the same trust name, regardless. It's just a different variant of it. A parking fine or a speeding fine will have your full capital name, first, middle, last name.
Yep.
A rate notice will have initials.
Yeah.
And the surname in lowercase.
Right.
They're both the same trust. The difference is a rate notice is a different category for than the penalty notice.
Right.
That identifies that ledger. It identifies the ledger the transaction must go in by the different varying words or letters of the surname. But if it's a surname, it's a trust. You can't be that surname. You never ever offer your surname. You're just your first name. Fine, I'm Michael. Michael Rolf.
Yep.
Okay? So they can distinguish me from different Michaels. I'm Michael Rolf. How you going? Have a nice day. What's your birthday? Always quote my registration date. Never my birthday. My registration date. Because I'm the administrator of the birth certificate. That's what you're doing.
Yes.
The birth certificate is the trust. You're administering their fraudulent thing, and they need you to exist, to have been created by God first, so then they can kill you off using the birth certificate. But that's a trust. Adam and Eve was in a trust.
Yep.
Because who was the third player in that?
The creator. Was it God or was it the snake?
The snake. The snake.
Yeah, right.
The snake is the prosecutor. It is the claimant that's working under the false crown. They're the snake. Your registrar, magistrate, judge. Yeah, they are what they are, about as criminal and accountable, aiding and abetting the prosecution. But at the end of the day, you need him to clear you.
Yeah.
From any accountability to that bullshit summons they got, right?
Yeah.
So you don't make war with the bench sitter. You don't make war with anyone in it. We know they're criminal, and their day will come. We'll get them later. But if you understand your position in a court and you do it with tolerance, with peace of mind, and you just question, and you forensically question everything out of their stupid mouth, you will never lose.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm glad as a kid I was always a why? And nothing's changed.
Tim, I know few people who are not lawyers or that who are as good at questioning people as you are. Soon as someone says something, you spot the thing in it, so you'll be fine.
All these traffic fines, all these traffic courts, right, that you see all around the country, there's like, just in New South Wales alone, 5,000 court matters going through a day. I guarantee you, 4,990 of them are pleading guilty. Can you imagine the revenue by innocent people claiming to be guilty, making these fat pricks rich, right? And all they had to do was go in there and say, I'm here on that matter. My only interest, I'm here purely on without prejudice, under duress, and as an administrator in this matter, I'm going to sit over here. And I'm going to observe how you perform your fiduciary duty correctly with this trust that's been summoned here today. And then you go and sit down and you shut up. Let them call your name three times. Let the prosecutor waffle on with everything. Why is that? Think about it. Why is that?
Well, I suppose you're just allowing them to put the evidence on the record that they're, I don't know, they're playing a fraudulent game.
Just playing equity, ex part, I guess. You set them up for ex parte. You've already done it. Within a minute, walking in the court, and you're sitting down after making your statement, you sit down and you let them carry on like fuckwits with their bullshit and say nothing. You do not defend the straw.
Yep.
But you were there as one of the administrators. You made it clear on the record. You were there as one of the, remember, when they call that name out, they need someone to take ownership of it. Why is that?
Because it's actually the judge that owns that name until such time as someone else claims it.
All of them. It's not just the judge, the prosecutor, the claimant, all of them. Because why?
Well, they're trying to.
They have to make the payment if you don't agree to pay.
They all work for the same boss.
They
Who's
do.
The boss?
Well, up here, it's called, the boss is the Northern Territory of Australia.
Yeah. And who owns the birth certificate? Who created it? Whose property is it?
Victorian government.
No. Each state produces its own birth certificate.
Yeah. I was live born in Victoria, so it's Victorian birth certificate.
Okay. But the point I'm making is, why are you owning up to something or defending something? It's not yours. It doesn't matter if there's $500 million sitting in a bloody tax file account, your tax file. It's not yours.
Yeah.
But you have access to it. If you're smart, yeah, you can access it and you can be debt-free and you can be fine-free, rate-free. You can be everything. Even without evidence or a notary seal from the Royal Registry. The problem is, this is a learning requirement, and most people couldn't be bothered reading.
Yeah.
I can produce everything in front of them, and no one bothers reading it. You know why I know that? Because every day, like today, I just turned my email on, just on one email account, and I have three. One of them had 430 emails in there.
They're right.
And it's repetitive the way I have to answer it. And I think, for fuck's sake, go to bloody lit forms and bloody read and study. It's all there. I've supplied everything. It's there. Take it for its face value and use it. Don't listen or take instruction from anything else, because that's just muddying the water. That's clogging your brain up for the war. It's filling your brain up with stuff you don't really need to care or know about. It's what's in there that matters. And it's about learning how to conduct yourself ethically, maturely, like, you know, the age of majority. Be a bloody adult, not an adult child. Yep. Stop being a belligerent entity. Stop creating controversy. These guys are just doing a job. They know it's bad. They know it's crooked. But they earn a living from it. So let them have it. If they pull $1 million out of your trust, who gives a shit?
Yeah.
You're not paying anything. Just you're telling them, go there because you ain't getting it from me.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I have to call it quits now. I think I've done.
Not a worry, man.
Can I have it for us? This can be, if you want to, you can share this outside of Lib. I'd like to get a download version of it so I can put it on my YouTube channel.
Okay. Yep.
Because I have 115 videos there, and most of them only run for about 3, 4, or 5 minutes. But it educates everybody what they need to know as background information, right? So it saves them to go and research and read books, volumes, and so they just have to watch it for 5 minutes, and they already learned something about the name. They already learned something about the signature and autograph. They already learned something about something else. It's all been like a jigsaw puzzle. Little pieces about specific things, and then they get the whole picture by the time they finish all 115 of them. And I just add this as to one of the other ones.
And I know that a lot of people, like in terms of the court end of the business and what's actually going on and the tricks and the traps, this is the end of the show that people just don't know. And especially with someone like myself stepping into on this specific topic, it's very nerve wracking, and it upsets the soul, mate.
Yeah, you know, I've been working pretty hard these last few years, and my health isn't the best when it first started. So this is just draining the life out of me at the moment, and I'm trying to keep up with everything. So if people could just help themselves, read the bloody things, turn that bloody TV off. It's full of crap. No. People need to start growing up and acting mature. Start using that bloody grey matter that's in there between the bloody ears, and wake up and speak up. If they all just spoke up, the best thing they can do is bill of exchange and promissory note everything that comes through that bloody letterbox, because that's all you have to do, and you just stand by it.
Yeah.
And if it goes to court, you study what we've just done here. You listen to it over and over and over again until you get it in your head. There's nothing to fear in there. They got nothing on you if you do not claim that name.
Yeah.
But you can even stay away, but be prepared for the bullies to come and get you and arrest you. But it doesn't matter, even if they did that and they took you back to the court or to the cells to go to court, the same logic is the same. I'm under duress, without prejudice. I'm a royal subject. I'm not an Australian citizen, but I'm just one of the administrators of the trust that's been summoned here today. I'll be sitting right here. I remain silent. I don't answer questions. And knock yourself out. I'm just here to observe, to ensure that you conduct yourselves properly in your fiduciary duty, that there's remedy being resolved here. And then you sit there and just let them talk, because there's nothing for you to participate. Let them find it. Because what happens is there's two choices in the end. They're either going to call in your favour and your walk, which could be a Section 76, or they find your entity guilty, which is fine. You just do another BOE on it. If you don't want to appeal it, when you get the court costs, do a BOE on it, send it back. It doesn't come back.
Mm.
They don't refuse it. This is the part. This is the stupidity. They summon you to court over a promissory note saying it doesn't exist, can't accept, da da da. But when you lose and you get their bill and you do a BOE on it,
well,
it's all about the money. It's not about justice. It's not about following law. It's about the bloody money.
Yeah. I did a BOE with the council up this way, and I've only done the first interaction, standard response. We'll see. There's been a little bit of education going back in the last correspondence, so we'll see how that peels out.
If I ever get caught answering a phone number, and it happens to be someone chasing money,
yep.
The only thing that comes out of my mouth is, can you provide facts in court that you are immune or exempt from the bills of exchange and promissory note? I'm talking about the facts. Can you produce that in court? They won't talk about it.
Mm.
But you just repeat it. Remember three times? They're recording.
Yeah.
You just repeat three times. Because after three times, what is that?
That's capitulation. Yeah.
On their recording.
Mm. Yeah.
You don't answer anything they ask. I just encourage everyone who doesn't understand what we've been talking about tonight.
Yep.
Make it easy for yourself. And that is, go to the Royal Registry website and set up your private trust using your family crest. It is a private trust for the living. And if you have one, the litigation department there does all the arguing for you. You don't have to do a damn thing. If you receive a bill and you don't like it, you send it to your litigation department at the Royal Registry and they take care of it for you.
Yep.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right, mate.
So thank you, Michael. Mostly appreciate it. And thank Diane too, please, because we've taken
you. That's okay. No worries, mate.
Cool. All right. Have a good one.
Cheers. Okay, cheers. Bye.